kill the music.
All right, this pre-convention meeting 2016 of the Washington Council of the Blind is called to order.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
All right, Mr. Secretary, would you like to do roll call or shall I?
Yes, good.
All right.
Steve Fixtel.
Here.
Nika White.
Here.
Sue Amater.
Here.
Frank Huda. Here.
Deb Lewis.
Here. There you go.
Cindy Van Winkle.
Here.
Jim Turry.
Here.
Danette Dixon.
Yeah, here.
That's loud. Denise.
Here.
Carol Brain.
Here.
Ollie Kazmarski.
Here.
Galen Floyd.
Here.
Sounds like everybody's here.
All right. Thank you. And let's see.
I got Wenatchee. Is Wenatchee here?
This is representatives now.
On your gift, I guess.
Okay. Spokane chapter.
Danielle Mark.
Walla Walla.
Jolene Burnington.
King County.
Yeah, Heidi Campbell, I'm here.
Yakima Valley. Pierce County.
Kathy Wilson.
UBC Seattle.
United Bank Seattle, Jimmy Brandon.
Skagit Island County.
Andy Erickson.
Is that everybody?
I believe so. Very good. Thank you.
Oh, guide dog users.
Oh, yes.
Although they have people. No, Debbie's on the board.
Debbie's on the board.
Oh, yeah, okay. No.
What about United Blind of Watcom?
You're on the board, so it doesn't matter.
All right, thank you very much. Let us now go real quickly around the room. We're going to need a mic and a mic runner. Okay, thank you, Lisa. We have a mic coming. And if you would, please, if you have already introduced yourself, you do not need to again. And if you would just give us your name and the chapter you're with, and we'll get through this real quickly.
Yes.
No, they didn't. No.
Who? Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Campbell.
Yeah, they did.
Colette Arvidson, Skagit and Island Counties, Council of the Blind.
J.R. Kinnison, Kitsap County, PCB.
Alan Benson, Capital City Council of the Blind.
Viola Benson, Capital City Council.
Shannon Curry, South King Council of the Blind.
Greg Jack, Capital City Council.
John Coulter, Everett.
Chris Coulter, Greater Everett Area Council of the Blind.
Rhonda Nelson, King County.
Doreen Cornwell, United Blind of Seattle.
Sean Henning, King County.
Tim O'Corkle, United Blind of Seattle.
Stuart Russell, Peninsula Council of the Blind.
Eric Vasquez, United Blind of Tri-Cities.
Janet George, a friend. Holly Turry, United Blind of Whatcom County.
Ron Bradshaw, United Blind of Whatcom County.
Tim Snabeck, King County Chapter, Shoreline.
Yvonne Henson, Snow King, Council of the Blind in the Works.
Jenny Anderson, Snow King, Council of the Blind in the Works.
Terry Butler, Snow King, Council of the Blind in Greater Everett Chapter.
Lorna Burrow, Everett Chapter.
Joel Valdovines from Tri-Cities, United for the Blind.
Do I have to introduce myself?
Derek Kingolski, Lacey, Washington.
Fred Baker from PCAP.
Glenn McCulley, United Blind of Seattle.
Ursula McCauley, United Blind of Seattle.
Ed Stevens, Snohomish County, King County, and Snow King.
Lori Allison, Pierce County Association of the Blind.
Darlene Hilling, King County Chapter.
South King County Chapter.
Jeannie Jacobs, South King County Chapter.
B. Shinnebury, Spokane. I did.
Burl Colley, Capital City Council of the Blind.
John Moberg, PCB.
Randy Tedrow, Member at Large.
Rebecca Bell, Seattle, King County Chapter, and United Blind of Seattle.
Chris Brame, South Kitsap Council.
Rex Ransom from the highest hill in El Segundo, California.
Did we get everyone? Oh, we have Jeff. Jeff Bishop from ACB.
Yay!
Yes.
I'm here with the Wickersham, King County Chapter.
Thank you, Linda. All right. Thank you very much. All right. The minutes of the August 20th meeting were distributed to the board. Is there a motion to adopt?
Move adoption.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to adopt the meetings. Denise moved and Carol seconded. Are there any corrections? None being, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries, minutes are adopted. All right, Debbie, are you prepared?
Uh-huh.
All right.
It's right there.
Let's see. I'm short, so I have to figure this out. There we go. Thanks, Steve. Oh, boy. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, and I am excited to summarize the work of the Treasury this year and hit the highlights of the financial statements of third quarter. Yes, I used excited, highlights, and Treasury all in the same sentence. And no, I haven't been drinking yet. Hospitality's not open for a couple more hours. This is my first year as treasurer, and I think it has gone really well. With the encouragement and suggestions of our board, along with the great support of our president, Steve Fixtel, Treasury experienced several changes, the start of which was implementing accounting software to record and track our financial records. Treasury is able to report, monitor, and audit the full picture of the financials in a consistent basis, and I have done just that, as some of you may have experienced. But really, things have gone well, and the committees and membership have been very responsive to the changes, and together we will have a strong Treasury that can provide accurate and meaningful information. As we head into the last quarter of this financial year, I welcome your comments on what Treasury can do better. So, are we ready for some highlights from the end of third quarter?
Yeah.
Okay. Starting with the income statement. Our fundraising activity, which is commonly called the Santa Show, has yet to kick in full gear at this fine time at the end of September. But the receipts have started coming in, and per Rob Turner, the show organizer, the show is expected to produce similar returns, which are about net $45,000. So that's what we will be receiving. Vehicle donations are low, less than $50, and the board has decided to contract with the previous auto auction company that WCB used years ago. As the new company is based more locally and also works with other ACB affiliates, they might be more interested in promoting our organization. Traditional donations are on the increase at over 1,750. And as Steve and I are establishing a connection with some of the online donation services and corporations use to facilitate employee giving. Membership dues are slightly more than expected at $4,747, and we thank the local chapters for their great work in welcoming new members and retaining existing membership. The addition of two new chapters, one in Skagit County and one in Wenatchee, is a great addition to the line item as well. State convention revenue was midstream at the end of third quarter, with about 40% of the total registrations recorded. Vendor table income was better than budgeted, bringing in a total of $1,225 by September 30th. And the committee did a great job of promotion. Updated totals for registration as of October 27th was 17,852 and vendor tables at 1,850. I hope everyone has a chance to stop by the vendor tables tomorrow and thank them for their participation.
Also tomorrow from and Saturday, there will be the silent auction that benefits the line item in our financial statements. I just love a good silent auction, and this is a great fundraiser for WCB. And let me mention that this is the first year we will be taking credit cards at the silent auction. If we can figure out how to do it, we might be able to take your Apple Pay, your Google Pay, your whatever pay, because we have the technology. We just haven't quite got the experience yet. So, but you definitely can use your credit cards at the auction. In fact, if you would use your credit cards anytime you can this weekend, Rick's trying to work on the streaming problem, and so we're hearing him a little bit, and we apologize for that, but he's struggling over here. If you can use your credit card for anything with WCB this weekend, it's really super helpful. We need to amass a good amount of money on the credit card so that we can get a more sophisticated and advanced reader, which is more accessible and takes more kinds of cards. So use your credit cards with us wisely. Moving on to expenses, starting with ACB convention in Minnesota, our state had 34 members and guests participate in the Washington caucus. WCB expense at this event includes sending our president, Steve Fixtel, alternate delegate, Cindy Van Winkle, and a first-time Virginia Ontiveros to the event. In addition, WCB provided stipends to several members, although there was plenty extra in the budget for more to attend. Maybe more members will be ready to go next year to Reno. WCB also paid for the caucus breakfast, and that was good because that was so early in the morning, for attendees and some door prizes. Some of those haven't actually been claimed yet. Quarterly board meetings take a good portion of the expenses through the end of the third quarter. As part of the new process, I am tracking the expenses and the meetings by subcategories to help the budget committee establish a more accurate budget, which is the nice way of saying that we went over budget on all the board meetings. Not sure what else to say about that, except knowledge is power. Chapter stipends is happily over budget as well. Being over budget here represents the addition of two new chapters. I welcome blowing the budget in chapter stipends. Committee expenses are also tracked by individual committee, and a big thanks to all members for turning in their receipts and keeping me informed of expenses. Good job to all committees. Of course, we are tracking and reporting WCB operational expenses, and all are as expected for third quarter. Telephone, conference calls, storage, insurance, bookkeeping, and tax preparation are all on target. Chapter visits, commission travel, and president's discretionary are at or below budget as well. State convention is a major player for the financial statements on an annual basis, but most of those expenses have not hit the books yet. Expenses will be tracked using the budget line items as approved last year, so looking forward to providing good feedback to the board as well as the budget and convention committee in the near future. The scholarship committee awarded money to 9 scholarship recipients this year for a total of $17,500. The scholarship reception is Saturday afternoon before the banquet, and the awards are given out during the banquet Saturday night. And a side note that even though it was budgeted this year, no grants have been awarded at this time, but the committee may still do that before year end. Wrapping up our tour of the income statement, there are 2 new line items related to the Morgan Stanley accounts. Not new items to WCB, but new to the report. I separated the management and fee, which totaled $13,288 at the end of the quarter. That is paid to Morgan Stanley for a job well done. I also included a line item that reflects the net gain or loss from realized or unrealized investment activity at Morgan Stanley. This line item represents interest dividends and actual gains or loss from the sale of investments and all the unrealized gain or loss associated with the stock and bond market. I hope these line items are useful, if not just interesting. Turning to the balance sheet, all items are, as you would expect, but a little different from prior years. I am tracking the balance and activity of the PayPal account, as well as the balance in the ATS Northwest checking account that is used for the fundraiser Santa Show. ATS bank balance at the end of the quarter is $10,238, but is mostly dedicated to Santa Show production at this point. Now, an interesting note is that over 65% of the conventioners used this option, the PayPal option, to pay for their registration via PayPal this year, and as such, our PayPal account totaled $6,874 on September 30th. Washington Access Fund, which is money we have in trust at the fund to provide no-interest loans for technology, is unchanged except for some interest earned on the funds that are not on loan. Washington Access Fund totaled $41,000 at the end of the third quarter. The marketable securities portfolio is managed and maintained at Morgan Stanley. At the third quarter, investments were up from this point at the last balance of $1,120,409. Our representative, Jim Patterson, spoke at our summer board meeting and provided some valuable insight into his investment process and philosophy regarding our goals and comfort level. Jim has been managing our funds for several years. If you are interested in hearing his presentation, we should be able to get a copy of that board meeting audio from Frank, I think. Current liabilities at the end of the quarter include startup chapter stipends for Wenatchee Council, payment to ACB for the caucus breakfast at their convention, some late summer board meeting costs, and some early state convention costs, chapter visits, and monthly business expenses like phone and record storage. Nothing too eventful. That's it in a nutshell. If you have questions about the financial statements in general or in more detail, please contact me directly. I am interested in your feedback and look forward to another year of being the WCB treasurer. Thank you. Yeah, some dog liked it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
It's Frank.
Yes, Frank.
Could I have inflows, outflows for the quarter and the total assets?
I will get those to you, Frank. I don't have all of that in front of me, the approximate inflow to date. We don't do a quarterly inflow. We do a year-to-date inflow.
Yeah, that's
and so
fine.
The year-to-date inflow is about $18,000, and the year-to-date outflow is about $80,000. But, see, we're on the wrong side of the year because we are just now beginning to get our income for the year. But those are approximately where we are.
Does that help?
Yeah, you can get me the figures later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right, thank you very much. Debbie has done a stellar job this year. You don't know how much time and effort she, with the help of Kim Thiel, our bookkeeper, have put into putting our books in order and bringing us to the point that we are today. And believe me, we are reporting and keeping track of our finances as any million-dollar corporation would. And you would expect to. So thank you, Debbie and Kim. Thank you. My report. I will try to keep this short because I have asked all the committee chairs to do the same. I've asked them to keep it to 2 minutes. I don't think I can keep it to 2 minutes, but I will do my best. It's been quite of a year. The first year I went into this, with horse blinders, maybe a little bit, because once I took them off, I saw what an enormous task this was, and to what Cindy has been experiencing for the last 4 years and 4 years previous to that. And there were some bumps in the road, I'll be honest. And there were some things to overcome. Some things got put aside. Priorities rearranged. But whatever the case was, keeping WCB in focus was always the priority. I spent a good deal of time earlier this year, January, February, into March, making connections with people in the field, whether it be other blindness agencies, other associations, disability groups, anybody that would open their door to me or answer the phone, I tried to touch. And I just wanted to remind everybody that WCB is here, we're here to stay, and we're a strong and viable partner as we all look to independence, equality, and opportunity for our state's blind. There's far too many of them to name in particular, but I say they come from all across the state, and many I even visited personally, whether it be in Wenatchee or Spokane. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the Tri-Cities, but I certainly would have had I been able to. As Debbie has mentioned, we have added 2 new affiliates this year, those being the Wenatchee Valley Council of the Blind and the Skagit and Island Counties Council of the Blind. I feel really good about that. Those combined, I think, brought us 19 new members. And the number of members isn't so important, but it's that many more people that we can touch and benefit from their involvement in not only their local affiliates, but in WCB as well. So welcome to both of you. And I hope to put a little icing on the cake this evening when we hear from our third affiliate. Those of you that have had a chance to work with me know that I am a lifelong learner. I returned to college. I was a recipient of 2 scholarships over the last 2 years. And I'm in the process of completing my Bachelor's of Education, finally, after a 34-year spring break. And a heck of a break it was. It was marriage to my lovely wife, Kelly. 3 incredible daughters. And 2 granddaughters. And I did say wife and daughters. I am surrounded by women. In fact, when the girls were young, I had a sign on my door, and it was the depiction of a buoy and 3-4 gulls sitting on that buoy. And you know what gulls do to buoys. But I survived. I'm here. My BA is in leadership studies, and it's certainly a passion of mine. And following in that passion, we this year instituted a leadership institute to coincide with our leadership seminar. You know, in May every year we offer the leadership seminar to introduce up-and-coming leaders within the affiliates to WCB and how they can be effective participants in their chapters. The Leadership Institute is to follow that sequence and actually talk about leadership skills and what it means to be a servant leadership. We had our first call Tuesday evening, actually, and the discussion was very lively, and it was really encouraging to see the interest and the participation and the level of contribution that these people are making to this venture. We, six people were named to the Institute, and the thought, and I'm rethinking this now, the thought was to carry this out throughout the year, to meet once a month. But I think actually that we could speed up that timeline and maybe get the first class through sooner, which opens the door to more of you being able to participate in the Leadership Institutes, should you wish. And because of the interest that we had in the other night and some discussion around strengths, I have decided to, if I need to on my own, because I have the training, to facilitate the Dependable Strengths articulation process with anyone who might be interested in discovering what their strengths are so that they can focus on the use and development of those as they carry on in their daily lives. This is going to take a little bit of work. It's a typically an in-person 2.5-day process that participants are taken to through. I hope to be able to do this by telephone and conference calls, and we'll see where it goes. But I'm really excited about that, and I think any of you that choose to participate will find it to be an incredible experience. What else? This past summer, the board participated in a seminar, an overnight retreat, if you want to call it that, where we did some collective brainstorming. We did some dreaming as to where we would like to see WCB go in the future. And I think you'd be really surprised at the ideas and the openness and the willingness to think outside the box as we look to our future. And because of that, I'm sure we're going to see some great things in the coming year. And it's very exciting when you see 12 people sit down in a room and frankly and openly share what their dreams are for this organization. And we have some very lofty dreams. Some we'll meet, some we won't. But the fact is that we're thinking and looking ahead, and I applaud this board for doing that. There has been a great deal of productive committee work this year. You will soon hear about those, so I won't steal their thunder. Their participation has been active, I have been active in all of those committees, but have tried to not steer or direct them in any way and to let them do their work. And they have done just that. They've met diligently some every month throughout the year. Constitution and bylaws even started meeting early this year to consider the things that they needed to and that I was asking for. And typically that's a committee that meets tonight to do their work. But they have been meeting all year long and very diligently the last few weeks. So thank you for that. And you're going to hear more about the work that they have done the last 12 months. And in May, I think it was, we started a new committee, WCB Cares. This was through the efforts of Haley Eggers. And I don't know, is Haley, you here tonight? Not yet. Okay. She will be here this weekend, certainly. WCB Cares was her idea and is an effort on the organization's part to recognize people when they're in need, whether it be the death of a family member or a serious illness or maybe even just a triumph. Haley felt it was necessary to recognize and console or congratulate those people as they came to our attention. If she was here, she'd tell you how many lives they've touched this year. I don't know, for sure. I was hoping that, we could get a report, but we will certainly report back to you before the convention is over. I want to thank the board and all of you for your support this past year. Our future is so, so bright. And I guess I don't want to talk too much about the future because that's tomorrow's report. Yes, you get to hear from me again. And it won't be as short, believe me. But I think there's some great things occurring within this organization, and it's because of your board that sits here in front of you this evening and the support that you give them and to us throughout the year. Many of you serve on committees, and to the committee chairs, thank you. But again, it's been an honor. So with that, we will move into the committee reports, and we will begin with convention. Cindy.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
All right. We have a few things that are, my report is that I had a really hardworking committee, and the fruit of their labor is going to be seen all this weekend. So there's that part of it. There's a few things that are a little bit different, and so I just want to make you all aware. And it's in your program. It's been, you know, when I sent out the snippets, I shared that information. But as you know, if you lose your name tag, it'll be $5 to get a new name tag. When you come into the conference area tomorrow, please be wearing your name tag. Volunteers are being alerted to watch for people with their name tag. If they don't have one, they'll be sent to get a visitor's name tag if necessary, if they're not with their name tag or registered. The biggest thing is it won't be tonight, but starting tomorrow night and Saturday night, you need to be wearing your name tag as a registered part of this convention to be in hospitality. So I want you guys to think about that there are some liability around our serving people in hospitality. And so we should only take responsibility for those people that are registered with this convention. So, just that's going to be something new. We will have people watching for people with name tags. And, also make sure you're wearing your name tag for your meals and that you're going in the right ones because we put in counts for those meals. We will have people at the door. If you are, a member who has enough vision that could see those name tags and dots and would be willing to man a door at meals, please let me know, and I'll hook you up with my sister. Carolyn is going to make sure that and assign doors to people. We're going to make sure that there's somebody at every door going into the different meals. So if you're willing to help with that, let me know. I'd appreciate that. There's a couple of minor changes. The scholarship reception is scheduled in the program to be in FG, and it will actually be in this room, in the Snoqualmie Ballroom. So, got that, Tim? It's going to be in here. Or not in here, I'm sorry. I said in here, not in here. I'm thinking I'm in Snoqualmie. Snoqualmie Ballroom, where the Welcome Lounge was. And the other change is the silent auction. Lisa, are you still in here? All right. Lisa is going to, because we have so many items, over 40 items for the silent auction, she is going to open the silent auction up at 12:30 tomorrow, not 10. So it will be open from 12:30 to 5 in Seattle 1. If people still have items for the silent auction, Lisa, where should they bring them? She just needs them now.
I mean, I'll be here. They can leave them at the registration desk tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I'll pick them up right after breakfast and start.
Okay. All right. So if you have them and you can't bring them to her now, bring them to registration first thing in the morning and she'll get them after breakfast.
Seattle 1.
Seattle 1 is if you, when you turn down this hall here, what you have are three ballrooms. The Washington is on the right. That's where we are now. The Evergreen is on the left. And Seattle is straight ahead. Okay? And that's where hospitality will be. And we use, there's three sections. Tomorrow will be broken into three sections. But today, or tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night, it'll be one big section. We have our student summit taking place, so you'll hear more about that, but that's exciting. We have the technology training, and based on feedback from last year, we moved exhibits into the Evergreen Ballroom. So tomorrow, Evergreen Ballroom will be hosting exhibits, and we have 29 vendors. So one vendor canceled, but we have one vendor new, so we still have 29, so that's exciting. And the relieving areas, hopefully people know where they are, but they're in the same as they've been every time we're here. So there's one just outside, of just as you're heading back to, towards registration from this hall, it's to the right, just as you hit tile or before you hit tile, off to the right, there's that one. And then the other one is, if you go down the tile way towards the elevator, you keep on going past the elevator, cut the cove there to the elevator, keep going past that, and it's just straight ahead, and there's a doorway that you go outside. At night, you'll probably need your key to get back in, so make sure you have it. Don't get locked out. And if you are going out at night, please take your phone with you, so if you do get locked out, you can call somebody for help. And let's see. Trying to think. I feel like there's one other something I wanted to mention. I think most importantly, I just want to say a lot of work has been put into here. It's going to be a fun. Our numbers are up. We have at least 240 people registered. This is our biggest convention ever. And so it's the beginning of the 3-day weekend. Relax, take a deep breath, enjoy yourself, be patient with one another. And most of all, have a good time. And I'll make sure I report things in the morning if there's any other changes. The two changes I reported on was the scholarship reception is going to be in Snoqualmie, and the start of the silent auction will be at 12:30. So that's all I have for you. Thanks.
Thank you, Cindy. First-timers, Danette Dixon.
Here is my microphone.
Right there.
I have really enjoyed working on this committee. This time we have selected six first-timers to attend this convention, and they are Jeannie Jacobs, Kenny Hillstead, Anmel Basha, J. Kirsten Wilson, Lona Burrell, and Paige Mayapeter. Welcome, and I will see you all at breakfast bright and early tomorrow.
Thank you, Danette, and thank you for all the committee's work this year. Tim McCorkle and scholarships. We have a mic coming, Tim.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also want to thank my committee members, Danette Dixon, Holly Turry, Joy Kelly, Kim Moberg, and Julie Brannon. We had an excellent mix of seasoned veterans and youthful exuberants. And this year we ended up contacting probably more groups, more individuals than we have in the past. And it showed in that we received more scholarship applications than any other year except for one since I've been on the committee. And I'm excited to announce that Deb already stole my thunder on that, but we awarded 9 scholarships to a really inspiring and resilient group of individuals. Some of them are here tonight, but I'll list them for you. Eric Werbel, Cindy Van Winkle, Shelby Kapler, Eric Vasquez, Courtney Cole, Abby Griffith, Jeff Bowler, Amanda Sutherland. Who did I miss? I got Courtney. I think that's everybody. I got Abby. Tracy Fahiran, yes. Yeah, I forgot about Tracy, and I had the opportunity to interview Tracy, and she always brings a smile to my face because she kind of sells herself short, and then she goes, oh yeah, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And I always want to remind people, leadership is not always in the title. It's what you do and what you get others to do with you. So it was a great year, and once again, I want to thank the committee and Steve. I want to thank you and the board for your confidence in us. We value this program a lot, and I think you'll be proud of the recipients that we introduce over the weekend. Thank you.
Great work, Tim. Thank you. And awards. Julie, where are you hiding? Boy, it's like the little kids in class. They all sit in the back thinking they won't call on me. That fooled you.
I get to sneak out, huh? Oh, of the 6 categoried awards that people can vote for, we had 4 of the categories voted for. And every category except for one had more than one nomination. So that's exciting. The awards that we did have voted for were Outstanding Service to WCB, Business of the Year, and Employer of the Year, often not voted for, so that was good to see that happen. The One World Award, and the, it seems like I'm missing one, oh my gosh, One World Employer Business, so that's it, that's 4. And then we have some Newsline Awards, and those are appointed, or those are nominated or given to us, whatever the word is, by the Newsline editor. So very exciting year. 2 of the categories that we often get nominations in and did not this year were Chapter of the Year and Advocacy. But like I said, many, many years we go without an Employer of the Year and Business of the Year, and it's exciting to have those awards. We had an excellent committee. The committee grew. There were only 2 other people on the committee, and I mentioned that we needed more, and I got more. That was exciting. So all you have to do is say you need people. And on the committee, we had Danette Dixon and Joanne Hunter and Linda Wickersham and Carol McConnell, who did have to drop out due to some illness issues, and Becky Bell. So it was a very good committee. Very exciting, you guys. I am so excited this year and excited about the people that can come and be the recipients for the award, and I think you'll enjoy it too. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Tomorrow will be a day that you'll look back upon. All right, Constitution and Bylaws. Frank.
Thank you, Mr. President. My committee is Reggie George, Lisa George, Stuart Russell, Rhonda Nelson, and Danielle Marr. And thank you. We have been working very hard all year long, meeting monthly, and at the end, every other week. And we have a major work to present to you this this weekend. I hope that those of you that are really interested in these kinds of things have done your homework and read the material that we put out there. It's available in recorded form. It's available, and you can listen to it on the telephone. You can listen to it on your phone. You can read it. Please look at this material before we actually make the proposals tomorrow. There's a lot to go through here, and it's a major work, more than we've ever taken on in one convention before. And I want you to really give it serious consideration, and hopefully we'd like to get as many questions answered and so on as we can before we actually get them on the floor. So we're meeting tonight after the board meeting. If you have any concerns, please bring them to this meeting.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all the work you've put into this. Resolutions, Deb Lewis?
That's me?
Yep.
Yes. Resolutions has one resolution to consider that was submitted to the Resolutions Committee, and three resolutions that are the typical thank you resolutions that we might do. And someone would say, well, that's sure easy. We were here last year with many of the same volunteers and the same hotel and same everything. You don't know how hard it is to change all those fives to sixes. So come and see if I actually succeeded. And resolutions will be meeting this evening immediately following the board meeting. And we shouldn't take too long because we don't have too many to do, but we do definitely have one that we need to actually come to a conclusion on.
Thank you. Just so you know, these resolutions that we pass just don't go off into never, never land where they're never seen again. Last year, I was able to present the thank you resolution to the Marriott at their employee meeting. So we had over 100 employees from this hotel at that town hall meeting where I presented them with the resolution that you adopted and a box of See's candy. And they remembered, in fact, I am now the candy man. Yes. All right. Public relations. Daryl, do you have a report? Daryl? Not here? Okay. Newsline. Mika, I know you do.
All right. Let's see. I'm on. All righty. So the newsline, my committee has, we worked really, really hard for about 2 to 3 weeks every about four times a year. And it's really amazing because there's a lot of work that goes into getting your newsline out to you. So thank you, Chris Coulter, Cindy Van Winkle, and Denise Colley. I'm going to start asking for more people too, since Julie said that's how it works. But it's been really great. The deadline for your next submissions is December 10th, so that we can get it out to you, so that the winter edition can be out to you in January so that no one revolts on me about having to go to the post office in December. So around Christmas, because that's a big pain. So please submit your articles to Newsline at wcbinfo.org. The earlier that you send them in, the better. 750 words or less for articles, 350 words or less for chapter updates. The committee does prefer these articles to be in a Word attachment. If for some reason there's a difficulty in that, just email me, and we can chat about it. Also, for those of you who have the cartridges, if those cartridges are not being returned back, I have taken your name off of the list to receive them. I have started making phone calls to let people know about this. These cartridges really need to be sent back. They cost money, and they are going to cost you money to get yourself back on the list. It will be $10. So, please, presidents and chapter reps, bring that back to your chapters. If at any time you are wanting the format of your newsline changed, please let us know about that. And when those membership lists and all that good stuff start coming back from chapters, please be asking people how they want their newslines, and make sure that we get that information. So, that's pretty much all I got. Am I under 2 minutes? Did I do good?
Close enough.
All right.
Thank you. I mean, no one will agree or disagree that we have the most incredible newsletter of any state affiliate, and I've had an opportunity to see many. And it will continue to get even better. Okay, Legislative Committee, Denise.
I don't have anything really new to report since the summer board meeting, but just to remind folks that we were fortunate this year because we didn't have any major legislation that we had to follow, thank gosh. So it gave us an opportunity to sit down and kind of put together an action plan, which we will be bringing forward. One of the big things we are definitely going to be looking at this next year is funding for the Older Blind Program. This keeps coming up, and we really want to be able to put a lot of emphasis on how we might be able to move that forward. The other thing that we are going to be looking at is looking at a way of ensuring that library services are kept here in the state of Washington, so that whatever happens with funding with the state library or whatever, at least our services would remain here. We don't really have that right now. The state has an obligation to provide those services, but what they aren't required to do is to provide them here in the state of Washington. So we're going to be looking at that issue more, and Danielle and I have already had some conversations. And then thirdly, we are still looking at trying to do some mini legislative receptions in a couple of areas around the state, and we will be keeping you informed of those as we move forward with plans for those. So that's kind of where the legislative committee is. I'm not even going to attempt to list who was on the committee, because I'd probably forget somebody, but the committee was great, and I think we have a good action plan moving forward.
Not bad for not doing anything. Glenn McCulley, do you have a report on listserv? Can you report? No?
It's been pretty well, We've had several new subscribers recently. I think part of it might be some of the new chapter people, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're right around 200, even last time I looked, slightly less than that. People have been behaving themselves lately. I haven't had to spank anybody lately, so the offenders know who they are. But, just remind people to observe the rules and play nice, and we get along. We've had some pretty good discussions on there. We still have a few people that like to monopolize it a little bit, but we kind of remind them once in a while to back off a little bit. And but overall, it's been a fairly civil year, I guess, compared to some. Last year we had a couple of little flare-ups we had to deal with, but this year's been pretty quiet. Yeah. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much. Environmental access, Debbie.
Anything?
No report. Okay. Membership. Oops, just a second. I skipped one. How could I skip this? Advocacy. Has been very busy.
I thought Steve was going to forget me. So, well, he took my 2 minutes, so thank you very much. No. advocacy is always busy, and I'm not going to list my committee either because I hate to forget people. But we have a busy, active committee, and the neat thing on my committee is that each month we take notes about the cases that we have, and we send them out so we can keep track. And it not only is it a way of keeping track, but it kind of helps us learn how to write and explain situations. So when somebody takes notes, I might work with them a little bit, or somebody else might make suggestions. So it provides a learning curve for the committee members, because we're all trying to learn, so that, because I'd like other people to be dealing with cases besides me. And someday I may go away. Somebody says, oh, please. But somebody at some point will want a new advocacy chair. Last year we handled 23 cases, little down from some other years, but we had some complicated issues. Right now we're primarily dealing with prescription labeling and a situation with Bartell Drugs, where we're trying to work with them to see that they get their initiate a prescription labeling program. And they've come up with some ideas, but they have not quite adhered with all aspects of the law. So we need to go back and beat them about the head and shoulders a little bit, and kind of smooth out the rough edges. But at least they're making some progress, and we're talking. So that's always a good thing. Excuse me. Kind of froggy tonight. So we just have a number of cases and a good committee. And I'll say one thing, that people are really impressed, you know, when I call somebody or somebody on our committee does and say we represent the WC Advocacy Committee, and people say, what is that? And I explain it's a committee of our organization that provides advocacy for members and non-members, and we're all volunteers. People are very impressed that we have that service to offer, because, as you know, in time of shrinking government, most civil rights agencies have cut staff. So we've kind of had to step in sometimes and try to fill the void. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Sue. And I was recently at another state affiliates convention, and they are in the process of starting an advocacy program, but it's only to the extent that they'll try to give you some advice. And that's certainly the step in the right direction, but the effort that Sue and the members of the advocacy committee go to make sure that our rights are protected and that we do have equal opportunity, they go the extra mile without question. So thank you. Membership, Carol.
Okay, thanks. And before I do membership, I have something exciting to share, and it's really important. Before I came in from at dinner time, we had a speaker come to our last meeting on disaster preparedness, and she wanted the opinions of the blind, how they could communicate, and visually impaired, how they could communicate with us. They've asked me to come aboard with them and get on their committee in Kitsap County and help facilitate that. So, and then they said they might want me to help pull in more, so we'll see. Anyway, on membership, it's been a really exciting year. I've had a wonderful team. I'm not going to name them all, but we have gotten the word out. I want to thank all those that were involved. Welcome the two new chapters. Thanks, Steve, for going out there, and Frank for helping them. And one of the things we've also done recently was the Kitsap County Fair. And we had an awesome turnout, lots of people coming in and getting information. We gave out a lot of flyers, a lot of professional teachers and all kinds of people came in. So that was exciting. We're looking forward to that next year. And then our committee put together a packet for non-members that Steve and our committee put together, and we're Lori had a few of those, and we're looking forward to working on all the changes and putting together welcome packets for new upcoming members. Thank you.
Thank you. The State Independent Living Council was awarded a grant by, I think it was the Department of Energy, to look at bringing emergency planners together with the disability community. That began a year and a half ago, about a little over a year ago. And there might be some opportunity there for you to participate. Now these, what's different about this coalition is that it involves the emergency planners, the people that make the rules, that make the plans, that see to it that everybody in the community is safe regardless of ability or disability. They meet typically in Olympia Lacey. But if someone is interested in serving on that council, I have tried, but it seems like they meet when we meet. And it just can't be in two places at once. But if you're interested in serving on that, let me know. It was quite interesting. They met in Yakima a year ago, July. Yeah. And at the time, it was 100 degrees outside. And the air conditioners were just whining away. To the point where they had a brownout. The power in the entire city, or at least in the section that I and the emergency planners were in, went down. And what did the planners do? They looked at each other and said, now what? Oh, well. Families with blind children. Lori, Allison.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I wanted to say something for membership. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, Laura. You got away from membership. I just wanted to mention that John and I just recently went to the new Wenatchee Valley Council chapter, and that they are really an energetic lot. There was really good attendance in the room and a lot of interest in WCB. And I think next year we'll see a lot of their members in Pasco. But we also had the chance to go out and meet one of the award winners. I won't say who because I don't want to steal Julie's thunder, and convince them to come to convention. So after they get introduced at the banquet, I hope you'll maybe spend a little time or take a moment to go and welcome them here. But the enthusiasm that chapter showed, and they're really want to have a convention there, and the convention center is remodeled. We went to dinner at the hotel, and the hotel manager came up and
and welcomed us, and we're so glad you're here. I mean, it was just a really exciting environment, and I think that when our award winner goes back, I think that he and the chapter will get some really good publicity in their daily newspaper. So it was just exciting. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for doing that. Lori.
Hello, everybody. Your Family with Blind Children's Committee has been very, very busy. Okay, sorry. We had, in March, we had our 2016 Braille Challenge. And yes, we had a great turnout. The kids had a blast with Beep Kickball. In June, we took part in the YES program, which is a program for the Department of Services for the Blind for the Youth. And what is really fantastic is this year, tomorrow, we are having a student summit. We have students coming with their parents, and we hope that we can continue to do this, working with the Department of Services for the Blind. And upcoming, we have the 2017 Braille Challenge. WCB will be hosting that with the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library. And Mika is our regional coordinator for that event. Thank you.
Thank you. Lori and her group have been very busy planning for tomorrow's student summit. And with the cooperation of DSB and her team, they've put together quite a little one-day program for these students. And today or tomorrow is just the start of many things to come, and I'll talk about that more tomorrow. All right. Aging and blindness, Holly.
I have been told I don't need a microphone at times, but here we go. And I promised President Steve that I would keep this short. We have been really active this year. I've been on the Aging and Blindness Committee for almost 10 years, and I love it. It's my passion. And I will list the members because I have them written down so that I won't miss anybody. Vivian Conger, Burl Colley, Tracy Farron, Byron Kazmarski, Carl Jarvis, Eric Hunter, Haley Eggers, Kevin Jones, and Holly Kazmarski. And we have been doing a lot of things this year concerning aging and blindness and low vision, but I will just, to be brief, list the three main topics. One is transportation, and we are going through the various counties. Everyone on the committee has an assignment to check out travel training, fixed route, Uber, Lyft, all of the various forms of transportation, including train and Cascades that goes from Eugene up through Canada. And we report back when we find out something interesting. That will be compiled in some sort of brochure so that if a person lives in a county, they can look on our website or contact someone, and it will tell them where they can go to be transported to where they would like to go. So they are not homebound. They're able to get out and about and lead an independent life. The other two items is, one of them is our Living with Fading Vision brochure that we've had out for a few years. We're going to redo that one and make it a little bit more updated. And we are working on our resource list, which ties into the transportation. So anyone, this is our goal. Anyone in the state of Washington can look on the website of WCB and find anything they need to know about anything. So that is a big challenge, but that's what we are doing. So if you need to know anything more, contact me. My email address is on the website. My phone number is there, and I am willing to talk to you at the convention if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank
is that
you,
short
Holly.
Enough, Steve? Did I make 22 minutes?
Oh, yeah, well under. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I thought trying to keep a Newsline article to 750 words was difficult. Crisis, Tim Turry, or Jim Turry, what am I saying?
Yes, this is me.
Mr. Turry.
Yes.
Okay, I think my mic's on this time. I'm a little froggy tonight. That cauliflower steak was delicious. Anyway, the members of my committee, I hope I don't miss anybody, Stuart Russell, Rhonda Nelson, Becky Bell, Tracy Faharin, Sarah Edick, Cindy Glidden, have all been instrumental in helping me when decisions have to be discussed, and a lot of them have, we have to work with sensitivity and discretion with a lot of the situations that we come across, and they've done an outstanding job in helping me to broaden my points of view on how situations should be handled, and I think they're just wonderful people. We've had a good year. Luckily, it's been quieter than some years. So this year we have spent $2,100 so far, and we have helped 6 people. And of course, like I mentioned last time, sometimes we help people in other ways other than just giving money. In fact, one person was able to get computer training as a result of our discussions. So thank you one and all for a good committee this year. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Now, I know this committee's been very busy. History, Chris Coulter. Where are you on the...
I'm coming.
Okay.
Right. Well, the history committee has been busy, and I will be naming my committee members in the report, so I'll just right now say thank you. I appreciate all your hard work. We, first of all, have accomplished a couple of things during the year. We were able to get a whole bunch of historic newspaper articles and other documents to Galen Floy so that they can be included on the website. And they were put on thumb drives. I did that. But I did not realize that they would have metadata, little bits of code that isn't supposed to be there because of transfers from document formats. And Frank Cuda, who's on the committee, and Holly Kaczmarski they had the tedious job of cleaning those up, and so they did that, and those are going to go on the website whenever it is possible for that to happen. The other thing we accomplished in September and October, and we also have for November now coming up, a history quiz that Carl Jarvis is writing. He writes one every month. It's questions and points for discussion about the history of WCB and of the organized blind. And so please, local chapters, work on those. Do those in your chapter meetings because they're really fun. They're really informative and fun. The third thing that this is something that we want to do coming up as soon as we can is to interview some of our retired blindness teachers and other workers in the field, people who've worked at DSB, Washington State School for the Blind, who have retired, just so that we can get their perspective on their lives, their working lives. And we were sent an interview that was, or actually a writing that John Olson, former O&M instructor for DSB, wrote. And he sent this, wrote this wonderful article, and it was forwarded by one of our committee members. And at the moment, I'm not remembering. It was either Carl or Frank. I can't remember. And on the horizon, we would love to help the former students of the Washington State School for the Blind to start either a Facebook page or a Facebook group so that they can keep a presence up as alumni. And Holly Kazmarski has said she wants to do that. Danielle Marr and I want to do the oral histories. We want to work on that. And we also, on the committee, we have Nancy Lind, and she has been a great support to us. And Burl Colley has been the person, and Carl Jarvis also, who have forwarded a lot of the newspaper articles and different archived documents that we all have. So we've worked together. We've really done a great, great job. We've enjoyed doing it. And we thank you all, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Chris. Website, Galen Floy.
Thank you. Since last convention, our webmaster, Kina Gray, migrated the website to WordPress using a theme that had been tested for accessibility. I want to thank my committee for helping with checking links and editing and all that good stuff. We had a couple glitches over the year, but overall not too bad. We may want to revisit what third-party app we use for forms, but our webmaster has agreed to answer questions of the board if so needed. Over the past 30 days, we've had 517 unique visitors to our website. I managed to get Google Analytics up and going. We need people with HTML5 and WordPress experience. Jim Turry is taking a course in HTML through the Cisco Academy for the Visually Impaired, which is a great online resource. And I hope to take their WordPress course so we can learn how to use this website to engage people more. I'll be able to check and see how people are using different pages and be able to report on that in the future. Let's see. On Facebook, we now have 304 followers. We need people to volunteer and help with providing content. So please see me if you have any interest in this. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. If you haven't been on the website recently, please do so. The work that they've done is pretty incredible, and it's working quite well. If for some reason you come across something that's difficult to use or the link isn't working, please let Galen know, because if she doesn't know it's broke, she can't help get it fixed. So please just don't put it aside and think, eh, maybe somebody else will say something. Let her know so that we can get it fixed, because if it's troubling you, it's probably troubling somebody else. Lastly, I was going to have Haley comment, and I can get her to do that tomorrow, I hope, as I know she's been very busy. Haley Eggers has been the chair of the WCB Cares Committee. She is also overseeing the Women's Expo that will take place tomorrow. So those two things and raising a family, she's been a very active lady. State Council reports. Washington State School for the Blind. Jolene, are you here? All right.
Thank you. Well, we had our first board meeting of the school year in September with our new superintendent, Scott McCullum, and that was a good board meeting, and I will be going again on the 18th of November. And things are moving along at the school. They are making some plans for some changes, but I can't really say what those changes might be yet. Not humongous changes, but some things. And so I'm enjoying having the opportunity to serve at the School for the Blind in the capacity of ex officio member to their board.
All right, thank you. Is Scott here now? No, okay. Scott McCollum, the new superintendent of the School for the Blind, will be with us this weekend. He'll be here tomorrow and all day Saturday. So please welcome him. He has been a great advocate and a partner as we look to work together and help our kids be productive and active citizens within the state. Washington Talking Book and Braille Library. Nathan, are you here? Okay. Frank, can you give a report?
Yeah, I saw his name on the agenda, so I didn't prepare anything. well, we are seeking, we're trying to fill three open positions, but they're all specific disability positions, and library sending out a restricted a request list to just those applicants or just those patrons who have those specific disabilities. But that'll be taking place sometime before January. Let's see. We had our elections yet?
Yep.
Oh, we had our elections, and I'm now the lame duck chairman. And, but it was a good year. We had a good year, and I wasn't prepared to say anything, so I'm sorry.
The
next meeting is February 11th. Sue contributed that. That's good.
All right. Thank you. And Department of Services for the Blind, Sue.
Our next meeting for the Department of Services for the Blind, this time we get to have kind of a two-day one. The first day is the usual State Rehab Council meeting. That is going to be on December 2nd from 9 to 3. And remember, people, you can attend, or you can come by phone, even if you just come for a little while. We feel awful lonely out there sometimes on South Alaska Street. So the first day will be, as I said, our regular agenda. Now, the second day will be, Debbie, if I don't say I do this quite right, help me out. It's not really an SRC meeting, but the SRC will be participating in a meeting to consider amendments to the Washington Administrative Code, which are being proposed as a result of the new WIOA regulations that are happening. And heaven knows how much regulations we'll be seeing. This is kind of
lots
I'm afraid to say. But because the governor's office took pity on us, he is going to extend we're asking that he extend for one more year, three people's terms so that we can use what we've learned over the last several years about we owe it a help in the regulation, consideration and adoption. So we're hoping that they will extend my term. Marshall, I couldn't think of his name, Tracy Kahlo, who represents PAVE, and we also have new members coming into the council, one representing consumers, which I used to be, but I'm going to be moved over to a former rehab participant, and then they've also appointed a new person representing CAP, it's a person who was on retired, so Jerry Johnson is now representing CAP on the SRC. And then they've extended some terms for Gloria Walling and somebody else, wasn't it, Debbie?
Steve and Sheila Turner.
Oh, Steve, excuse me, Steve, you know him. And Sheila Turner, who is from Tri-Cities Edith Bischel Center. We will also be, the nominating committee will be recommending, we hold our elections in December, a new chair and a new vice chair. So I have been chair and I will no longer be chair. So let's see. I think that's kind of it. But, you know, I think it is really important that people really think about either coming in person or attending by phone and listening about these regulations. They're going to impact the kind of services that are delivered to blind people or that could be delivered to you. And you have a right to give your opinion about what those should say. If you don't, they could be, you know, adopted in a vacuum, which is kind of a shame. So the SRC meetings are open. You should be there. And if you attend by phone, you don't even have to get out of your jammies. You just, you know, can maybe don't stay in bed because you might doze off, but only kidding. But you can stay in your jammies and come to the meeting, which is a good thing because I've done it when I'm for other councils that meet by phone. So anyway, just kidding aside, please consider coming to the State Rehab Council meeting. And right now we're pretty, except for a couple of business and labor openings, we don't have any openings. But you know, they do happen throughout the year. Things change for people. Sometimes people move, their jobs change. So if you're interested, the governor's office would always like to have a pool of applicants, kind of waiting in the wings. So if you want more information, you can talk to me, you can talk to Debbie, our staff person, you can talk to Steve, the vice chair, but please come and participate. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue. All right. Typically, each year we get a report on the Washington Access Fund, and I forgot my notes, but Debbie has dug through her archives and found them. So if she could give us just a brief report on where the fund is.
Sure. Let's see. No, it's okay. I'm short. I have to stretch my neck up here like a giraffe every time I talk into this thing. So activity that related to third quarter, I mentioned in the treasurer's report that the current balance at the Washington Assistive Technology Fund is $41,000. And activity for third quarter, there was an application received in the second quarter that was denied in the third quarter. It would have been $3,000 for a CCTV and a laptop computer. There was an application approved in the second quarter that was withdrawn in the third quarter because of lack of funds, and that would have been a payment of $1,427 for a laptop. And there was a loan approved, $448 for a bookport, and then withdrawn. Boy, what's going on with these loans? And then there was a loan approved and disbursed, yay, for a refurbished laptop, and that was actually $299.50, actually. And one loan approved but not yet disbursed for $500, which is for a partial payment on a Braille note. So the Washington Access Fund has been pretty busy, and I would just mention that the loan that we're reporting on here, because some of you may not know, that these are funds that we have provided to the Washington Access Fund to manage on our behalf so that members of this organization in good standing who want to borrow money to purchase technology or related support for the technology can do so, and can do so in a way that is totally protects your confidentiality and is a very a good and upstanding loan process. And these loans are interest-free. They will be here in the exhibits tomorrow, so if you are interested in that and not familiar with it, I hope you'll go by and see them.
This is Frank.
Yes, Frank.
There was a lack of funds for one of the requests?
No, lack of funds by the individual to support the loan. You have to be able to pay the loan back.
Okay.
Something for the board to think about. Jack Brummel, who is the executive director of the Washington Access Fund, came to me just a week ago, I think I saw him, And he mentioned that our fund is way underutilized. You know, as Debbie reported, we put $40,000 on deposit with them, and there's $41,000 in there right now. So those are the proceeds of a loan that was paid back. But if it was being used, then that fund should not be $40,000. It should be much less with a steady income. Jack suggested the way it stands right now, you must be a member of WCB in good standing to qualify for an interest-free loan. Jack suggested to me that since the fund is so underutilized, that we consider eliminating that condition. Okay. So I am never going to tell someone no outright without consulting the board. And so I am. It is a constitutional, it is noted in the bylaws. And so anything would take your approval for it to happen. But I'm passing that along. So I've done my job. And I want to thank the committees. Those are terrific reports. And it just shows you. It shows you the amount of work that people do on our behalf to support you and I and all of those within the blindness community. And we couldn't do it without them. There's no way that we could do it all without your support and your help. And as we come around for committee assignments next year, I would like you to consider whether you would like to give some time and effort and ideas, just as these people have, as we work toward a better WCB. So please, please consider that. All right, new business. The 2017 proposed budget. Burl, can you give us a brief report? Now, this is for the board. The budget, if adopted by the board of directors here tonight, will go to you on Saturday for formal approval. You have final say in terms of our budget. So what's going to happen now is Burl can give us a recap of the budget that's being proposed. The board will vote on it, amend it, do whatever they feel they need to do, and then it will go to you for final approval. Burl?
Mr. President, did you want a committee report too, or just go on to the budget?
I'm sorry, I did overlook the budget finance committee.
Oh, I heard some of our committee was crying back here, and I thought maybe that.
All right, to appease them, could you give us a brief report on the finance committee?
Okay, we had a good year. We made some changes in the way that financially WCB looks at things. One of the first things that we did was to change the format of the budget from what was previously a Word document with offset items underneath one another to an Excel spreadsheet. And fortunately, we had some folks like Tim McCorkle who pretty knowledgeable about Excel spreadsheets. And so he combined with our president, and we came up with an acceptable format to present the budget from now on, which will be in columns within an Excel sheet. We also then undertook to look at a policy, a travel lodging policy. That policy, I believe, is going to be dealt with at the business meeting. A subcommittee of the finance committee looked at that and brought forward a policy. The members of the committee are Glenn McCauley, Byron Kazmarski, Deb Cook, Steve of course, who, while he's ex officio, was certainly an integral part of the committee's activity. Tim McCorpical, who is the committee's vice chair, and Victor, that's Victor, what's his last name? Okay, from
Everett.
Okay, so that's Victor from Everett. And we've had good committee participation when we've had our calls. We did come up as another piece of business with the budget for 2017. And now, Mr. President, I'll need some direction on you because you indicated you had wanted a brief report of the budget.
Well, let me ask the board. They have received a copy.
Can I ask a question first about the report?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to wait till after? I can wait if you want me to.
Yeah, let's wait.
Okay.
The board has seen the budget. We had a board call that evolved around the budget. So plenty of consideration and opportunity to speak has been given to the board. Do we need to read the budget? Okay. Are there any, then I would need a motion by the board to adopt the budget and move it to the membership on Saturday.
I think the motion is to refer it to the convention with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. All right. So was that moved by Danette?
Yes.
And seconded by Sue?
No.
Oh. Carol? Okay, sorry. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Burrell will read the budget in its entirety for you on Saturday.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hope everybody enjoyed the report.
Sue, you had a question.
Maybe I misunderstood you, Burrell. Did you say that tomorrow we're going to be considering a policy on travel?
He did, but we are not.
Okay. You said the business meeting. Okay.
No, that would be, that's something that would have to be.
Well, we hadn't seen it. That's why I was.
Yes.
Okay.
And it would have to go
Never
to
mind.
The Constitution
Thank you.
And Bylaws Committee, and they have not.
Okay.
Looked
Thank you.
At it. Yes.
Well, we passed a motion at a previous board meeting to refer it to the convention.
Refer it to you, to the committee.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Have you read it lately?
Yeah. And you were going to rewrite it because you didn't feel it was written well.
No, I think it says in the minutes that it was referred to as is to the be considered at the convention.
It
was presented at a board meeting. Are we talking about the travel policy?
Yes.
No, it was presented at the February.
I made the motion. I hope that I wrote it down right.
It was going to be brought to them. That was at the February board meeting, and it was supposed to be brought to the convention.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's what happened, then that's what we need to do. There is, just so everyone is aware, when the board meets, we provide travel and lodging as appropriate for the board members. And there was a time, and there have been for many, many, several years, where we have also provided lodging for spouses. Some spouses, not all spouses. And I didn't feel that was right. So I asked the board to adopt a new policy that addressed that. They weren't comfortable in doing it themselves. There was a lot of discussion, and apparently I remembered wrong that it was moved that we refer it to you for consideration. So we will find that policy. I didn't bring it with me, but we'll find it and get it before you to consider. Fair enough?
I think, Mike, maybe the confusion is it's not rewording, it's not the whole travel policy, it's just part that deals with.
Well, it's actually a policy. It's a policy. It's not a bylaw, but it's a policy. And one of the things that you're going to hear about tomorrow from me is that I am going to, and I can say it right now, I'm going to form a task force to look at our constitution and bylaws and to extract from those bylaws anything that relates to policy and procedure. Tomorrow or Saturday, you're going to be considering 6 constitutional amendments. Okay? And those constitutional amendments take time. They take time to write. They take time to get in a form that makes sense and meets the needs of what we're trying to say. And then you have to vote on them. And if we have policy embedded in those bylaws, then every time we want to change a lodging policy, we have to come to you. Now, if that's the way you want it, that's fine. But you have to be prepared to give those serious consideration when they come to you. And there are certainly things that I don't feel need to be taken to you, the entire membership. That's why you elect a board of directors. You need to have the confidence in them to do what's right when it comes to policy. That's my feeling. The rest of the board may differ from that, but I'm going to ask this task force to look at that and rewrite not our constitution, but our bylaws and draft a policy and procedures manual that we can use going forward. It's very unusual for a corporation, which we are, to have policies embedded in bylaws. You just don't find it. But I know other organizations do, and we've modeled to some extent after those organizations. But it's time for us to take a look at what's right for WCB. So I'll probably repeat that tomorrow, but that's my frame of thought. And we'll get that policy in front of you tomorrow or Saturday for your consideration. Probably Saturday, because we don't do any voting tomorrow. Okay, sorry for that. My fault. Next year, and I left these at home in my rush to get out of the house, but meeting dates for next year, we have arranged with the Executive Inn in Seattle to meet February 3rd and 4th for a board meeting and retreat. We will then tentatively meet the end of April. I think it's April 28 and 29. Right now I'm looking at a facility in Federal Way. They're offering, the room rate at the Executive Inn is 109, which is quite low for the Executive Inn, for any hotel downtown Seattle. The April spring meeting looks like it'll be in Federal Way at the Clarion Inn. They too are offering a 109 rate. I'm working to get that down, but they say, have you ever looked at hotel rates in the spring in Seattle? And I says, yeah, but so we will see. But their food costs are a fraction of what we would pay in many other locations. And that matters, especially when we have 40, 50 people at lunch. And that's the leadership retreat. It is also coincides with the guide dog spring fling. And this facility looks like it would adequately support that, but I'm asking Sherry Richard to come down and walk the property with me to make sure. No paperwork has been signed yet, so it's not a done deal. Then I think it's August 19th, we will be at the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library again, which is always a well-attended summer meeting. And then convention next year is October 26th, 27th, 28th, am I right? In Pasco, at the Red Lion in Pasco, Washington. Those will be the meeting dates for next year. Several weeks ago, I attended a BEEP baseball team game where the Tacoma Tide played, was it Spokane, Fred? Does that sound right? Or was it Sluggers? They did play the Sluggers, I'm sorry. And Fred is one of the organizers of the Tacoma Tide beatball team. And if you don't know, it is a growing sport in the state of Washington. For a long time, the Seattle South King Sluggers was the only team in Washington state. We now have the Tacoma Tide, the Spokane Lion Pride. We have a team in Wenatchee, and we have a team forming in the Tri-Cities area. And they are looking to start a BEEP kickball league, which is for the younger of us. But it's a growing sport, and it's a terrific opportunity for young people age 5 and up to be active and play in an organized sport. Fred came to me and says, we'd like to be affiliated with WCB. And I said, fabulous. Here's what you need to do. He did it, drafted a constitution. We looked at it. We made some revisions. They have approved it, and I believe we have, but I'm going to ask Frank Cuda if the constitution submitted by Beatball Clubs of Washington State was not in conflict with our own constitution.
It's fully in compliant with our requirements.
All right. So I would like to entertain a motion at the time to accept the charter of the Beatball Clubs of Washington State as a special affiliate of the Washington Council of the Blind.
I move that we accept the Beatball Team of Washington State, the charter, right? As a secondary affiliate.
Special interest,
sorry. All right. That was a lot to remember, I'm trying.
It's okay.
So.
Okay, who made the motion?
Is there a second? Oh, Carol made the motion, Danette seconded. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Sue. Cindy.
I have a couple of questions. Could we please know how many members they would be affiliating with if we are certain that the majority are blind and if they are following the same rules in the Constitution for president, vice president, majority of their board being blind?
Their Constitution calls for a board of directors of 7. The president, first vice president, and second vice president must be blind, and the majority of membership in the organization, must be blind. They have submitted 10 names right now. Fred, can we get a microphone to Fred so he can help answer some of these? Fred, where are you hiding? There he comes.
Could you introduce him?
Yes, this is Fred Baker. Fred is one of the organizers, if not the organizer, of the Tacoma Tide team and is playing a vital or an instrumental role in getting the kickball, beep kickball organized. And they have also organized a bowling league. So if anybody's interested in bowling in the Tacoma area, Fred's the one to talk to.
Okay, as far as the question of the board, the majority of members of the board will in fact be visually impaired. We will have the membership. See, when we play beatball, we need volunteers and we need players. So depending on the number of volunteers that come out, they will not be blind. The spotters and the other people, but the majority of it, the game is for the blind, and that's and they will be the majority. As far as the kickball is the same thing, where we will organize those kids, but we will need sighted assistance with those.
Who are the officers right now, Fred?
We have 7, and the way we have it structured now, that these 7 people have volunteered on a first year basis, if this is adopted, that they will serve for a year until we have our elections in next November. Do you want the names of them?
Yes, please.
Okay, the president will be Troy Lieberg from Spokane. The first vice president will be Andy Bacon from Tacoma. The second vice president will be Rick from Wenatchee.
Bernard
from Wenatchee. We have the secretary is Lori Allison. We have the treasurer, Jennifer, and I don't remember her last name. She's the treasurer of the Spokane Lions Pride. And then we have 2 assistants. One will be Kathy Wilson from Tacoma, and the other one will be Vivian Husk. What's the name?
Hush. My name is Vivian Hush.
Okay, that one. She will be the second advisor. And so that will be the presidency on a temporary volunteer basis until we have our election next year.
Okay. Sue, you had a question?
There's a question here. Yes.
Yeah, and then there was somebody after me too, a woman.
Okay.
I'm a little confused about something, and we're not meaning to pick on you, Fred, but okay. First question. So to play baseball for one of your teams, do you have to be a member of this organization?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Well, in order to join the beatball clubs of Washington State, which is what we're talking about doing, that organization will be affiliated with WCB, which will be affiliated with the National. So there's a 3-tier membership in that layout.
What I mean is, if I want to come and play for your team, I have to join Beatball of Washington State. Is that right? Become a member?
Well, you'll join a team. Like if you come to Tacoma, and you're welcome to come, we will ask you to come, and you will register as a member of the Tacoma Tide. The Tacoma Tide then will automatically align your membership.
But then I have to pay dues to you, is that right?
That's correct. Okay. We have to. There's a registration fee to play ball, which covers our insurance and jerseys and things like that. So there is a membership fee.
Oh, okay. But you know that for each person, then you pay dues to this to WCB and ACB, is that right? That's understood?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm trying to think this through, so I'm, okay. I think I'm understanding that part, so I'm thinking.
Good, yeah.
What I'm concerned about is the kickball, which you said was for kids, because we don't allow kids as members. So how would that stack up with this? I understand the beatball part, I think. But the kickball I'm a little concerned about.
The kickball kids are considered junior members.
We don't have junior members.
Yes, we
do.
Well,
but they have to be 16 and older, isn't it?
No.
Okay,
it's
all right.
It's in our Constitution.
Okay, sorry, okay, well, ACB, I think, doesn't, so that was my confusion.
Okay.
My memory isn't worth a darn tonight. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then that answers my
question. Holly, did you have a question? Or someone down there?
I think it was Debbie, maybe.
Okay. Does anyone else on the board have a question? All right. The audience, there was a few. Glenn, and then Julie, and Doreen.
So I guess I just want to reiterate what Sue was saying here. So I live in Tacoma. I don't, but if say I want to come down there and play on Fred's team, then he's automatically affiliating me with this organization for playing on his team. Well, or he's gonna pay him, or I'm gonna pay him. Somebody. So to play beat ball, you are being compelled to be in this organization. And just a little, I mean, I think it's great if we can get a bunch of members, but some of the people may choose not to even acknowledge that they're affiliated with this, which, I mean, I don't know. It seems kind of funny to have this sport A over here and say, if you want to play with us, you have to be a member of this. Does that mean that you're not going to have any NFB members playing beat baseball or National Federation?
Yeah,
we can say that too. National Federation of the Blind.
Well, anybody that joins the Lions Pride, or the Derek back here, we're working with him in Lacey to start a team down there. The idea is to be able to provide these young coming up teams instant access to the game. Otherwise, each team would have to run this gamut by themselves. They would have to do all of the paperwork and all the necessities in order to be able to fundraise and to buy insurance and to do all these things. By putting this thing together and going into as many of the counties and the areas in the state of Washington, we can bring together people that want to play kickball or b-ball. The kickball is not necessarily limited to the young. We play it ourselves. It's played exactly the same as b-ball, if anybody knows about that. There's two bases, first and third. And instead of hitting the ball with a bat, we just kick it. And the ball is just like a regular red kickball, except it's got a hole in it. You push it, and it makes noise. And so we...
How much are the dues, please?
What was that?
How much are the dues?
The dues for the is $5 for this portion. Well, now, registration for our team... is different than the registration for the Spokane team because of whatever they're going to be doing with their team. But each member that joins a team will then be affiliated with this.
Can I ask a clarifying question then?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Is that okay?
Glenn, did you get your question answered?
And I have, this is Debbie, I have a question.
Can't hear you, Glenn.
Oh,
okay.
Well, I'm just saying you may limit your membership by if people who are members of other blindness organizations they may not choose to want to play with these guys. Well, that's sort of a problem. I'm just saying, you know. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Sue.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know Julie and Doreen, but if someone pays $5. To be a member of the Tacoma Club, who is going to pay their state and national dues to WCB and ACB?
It's 5+ to the state.
That's not what he said.
But that's what their constitution says.
Well, okay,
their constitution reads exactly like we would want it to read.
Okay, well, that's why I asked.
Yep.
Yep. So if somebody joins, they pay $15. Is that right, Fred?
No.
Okay. Well, that's not.
Well, that
wait.
They have there is $15 in it, but then there may be more, depending on the club, if they're going to be doing something different. If they're going to be buying jerseys.
So their fee is whatever it is, which includes $15. It might be $50 for a member, for someone to join XYZ beatball team. 15 of that goes to their local affiliate, to WCB, to ACB, and the balance goes to pay for insurance and field fees.
I just want to be sure that Fred understands that for each member, they must pay $5 state dues and $5 national. Are you clear on that, Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
Crystal.
All right. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. It just.
Right. Okay, Debbie. Okay, but the board responds first.
I would like just a little different spin on the clarification, because I appreciate the value of special interest affiliates being in one myself. So I'm fully appreciative of that. And I guess I clearly understand that the primary purpose of this particular affiliate is to play beatball, and I certainly think that's cool. My question is, why does the proposed affiliate want to be an affiliate of WCB?
Our purpose is to get the message out, to get as many organized teams as we can across the state. When we play amongst ourselves. We will scrimmage amongst ourselves. We have right now access to two other teams to play us. We would like to have more so that we could have a team come out of, Wenatchee and come out of Lacey and come out of, because we have people in North Seattle that would like to form a team because the nearest team is too far away from them. So the object is to get these people access to a team so that we could have more games. We've gone and had a game with a team that we call the A-Team, which is some local friends of ours that came and played with us, and we had a great time. So playing against another team more often than just scrimmaging is a lot more fun.
Sure. What does that have to do with WCB being a member? In other words, I totally agree that that's what you want to do, and it's totally appropriate to do. What does affiliating with WCB have to do with that?
In layman's terms, you're the big dog on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to ride your shirt tails and get this message out to as many people as we can. We've been in Tacoma for 2 years. Seattle's been up there for 3 years. Wenatchee's been over there. Spokane's been there for 4 years. And that's about it. And we think that by affiliating ourselves with you, that we will be able to get this message out quicker and more effectively, and get more people involved, and also stepping down from the age limit of beatball, which is 18, to go down and to get the younger kids involved in kickball. I had the privilege of going to the Braille Challenge last year, and I took the beatball with us, and once we turned it on, it first scared them to death. But as soon as they got accustomed to it, then they're kicking it around the room became exciting for them, and to see them chase the ball and to be able to find it. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to as many people the quickest way, and we think that you are our quickest avenue to get more people involved.
Okay. Julie, Brandon, can we get a mic?
Thank you, yeah. I didn't hear the South King chapter mentioned. At this point, they're not interested in joining you. I'm just curious.
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't.
You haven't approached them.
We're bringing this to you to see if we can form this, and then we will go and get the teams lined up.
One more question. I'm going to short tail on Deb's comment. Are you thinking that WCB will assist you with PR? Or I guess I'm going to ask what WCB's role would be to assist you, since you're saying our role hopefully would assist the spread of your sport, et cetera.
Well, if I sit here and listen to your newsletter, you know, by getting newsletters out, I have never been to a meeting at Skagit Valley. Okay. But by going through this organization, the information that we have, we can get to them, see if they can put together a team. Then we will come up and facilitate an organizational meeting and a clinic to show how the game is played. So we will have access into more units coming through you is our aim.
Okay. Doreen, you had a question? Okay, and then we will vote, unless the board has any other comments.
Now, last year, we had a young lady that came from the Tacoma News Tribune, a young reporter. Come to find out that she was on she was an intern, and she and a photographer came out to our game and wrote a great story, which was on the front page above the fold of Beatball. We had a great number of people contact us through that medium. I contacted the Tribune again, and they said, well, we've done a story on you, and we probably won't be doing another one this year. Well, but now we're going to bowl. And so now we're going to say, would you like to take a picture of us bowling? They put a video together that was picked up by the National Association of Beatball, and they put it on their Facebook page and on their website. So that we heard from clubs from Texas that watched the video and read the newspaper article by way of going through the National Association of Beatball. So we're just looking for avenues to get the word out and to get as many people active as we can.
Doreen?
I guess I want to do two things, which is I want to ask the board whether we need to do any specific things about insurance and screening volunteers if we're doing things involving minors. And I say that because I've been involved with one nonprofit where we didn't really have any control over minors being part of our program. And when we talked to our insurance company, they're like, well, we can add, you know, two clauses for free and it's nothing. So I guess I would like to hear that that's looked up. I want to speak personally. I have had crummy vision my whole life, on various details at different times. One of my details is that I am so allergic to baseball because people actually expected me to play it with double vision and no eye-hand coordination. And I liked volleyball really well as long as I could serve, but I couldn't field worth spit. And so having an activity that's a sport that includes visually impaired kids just totally sounds like a cool idea, and I would love to see the board be able to help this happen. I hear the point, well, is this a fit with our organization? And I think that's actually a good question about a whole bunch of things, but I just want to say that I'm positively disposed toward it.
Okay. Yes, Cindy? Can somebody get her the mic? Oh, Fred's going. Okay.
This isn't a question. I hope this is a comment that will help us as a board make a decision. Our mission is independence, equality, opportunity. I sure don't know what having people feel empowered playing beat baseball. If that doesn't hit those three things, I don't know what does. And if we don't decide to promote this organization and getting out there off their duffs and doing something and being active and bringing in young people, then we're missing the boat. That's all.
Sue, did you have a question?
I have a question. I do too, Mr. President.
Well, we need to, would somebody call the question?
I don't know where to start because this is going to seem like a downer. And I don't mean it to be, but we did, as a board, take under advisement some time back a concern about doing things with kids and our liability. And I don't, when parents are here and that kind of thing, I don't have a concern. But I'm not sure about volunteers, and I don't want to muddy the water of approving this application potentially. But can we somehow hold in abeyance the discussion about the under 18 for the kickball, or I don't know, maybe.
I have a comment.
I don't know what to do.
The each team that joins will be required to have a set of bylaws and their own organizational structure, so that each team will take on the responsibility.
And they'll have their own insurance?
We have an insurance that is going to be available to them. That's one of the things where, by joining together, this brand new team in Lacey,
okay,
can they have insurance tomorrow without having to go out and to find it.
You solved my problem. Thank you, Fred.
Okay, the question has been called. The motion is to adopt the charter of the Beatball Clubs of Washington State. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries. On this, well, the motion's passed and... All right, go ahead. You're keeping people from hospitality.
So my keeping
people from the Constitution of bylaws.
No, I forgot.
My message
yes,
to the board is one of the things that we've run across in the past is when you have an independent organization who affiliates, then their activities, such as fundraising and things like that, have to reflect positively on the state organization. And so it's going to behoove the board, now that you've accepted this, to be vigilant on that. And if it goes astray, the membership relies on you to get it straightened out.
All right. All right. Are there any announcements? Who is it? Yes, Tim?
I noticed it sounds like a lot more people than just board members voting here tonight.
No, it was the board only.
I heard some people loud.
There was only one nay vote.
No, that's not true.
Was there two? All right, well, you guys have to speak up.
Nay louder.
Now, I don't find it funny. All right, any other announcements? Hospitality is out these doors and to your right. Down the hall, you must have your name badges. I think you do need them.
That's not tonight. Just starting tomorrow, she said.
All right.
Cindy said tomorrow night at Saturday.
All right. Any other announcements?
Yeah, Constitution Bylaws Committee is in Snoqualmie in about, 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay. Resolutions is meeting in here.
Okay. All right. And if there is nothing else, this meeting is adjourned.